to the next part of our agenda. Presenting our asks to the First Minister. Let's begin with the living wage.
Hello, I'm Rowan Hughes, Chair of Vale of Glamorgan Unison Branch. And as a trade unionist, I'm very proud that we're members of Citizens and that we're working together to spread the real living wage. One in four Welsh workers earn less than the real living wage, currently £9 an hour, which is an independently calculated figure based on what it actually costs to live. That means that a quarter of Welsh workers are not earning enough to support themselves and their families with dignity. The Welsh Government is an accredited living wage employer and has done a lot to promote the real living wage. Thank you. But there are still lots of employers in Wales who receive taxpayers' money through the Welsh Government but are not accredited as living wage employers.
Fel cynfyfyriwr ym Mhrifysgol Caerdydd, rwy'n falch mai fy mhrifysgol oedd gyntaf i achredu fel cyflogwr cyflog byw. Ond erbyn hyn, mae gennym ddau, ac rwy'n falch iawn o gyflwyno Dr Emyr Roberts, cadeirydd y cyngor ym Mhrifysgol Aberystwyth, i ddweud wrthym pam y maint wedi archedu fel cyflogwr cyflog byw.
Diolch yn fawr iawn. Noswetha i bawb. Dwi'n falch iawn i fod yma heno i sôn am y cyflog byw. Mae Prifysgol Aberystwyth wedi bod yn talu'r cyflog byw go iawn ers dros flwyddyn. Yn y lle cyntaf, y rheswm am wneud hynny ydy herwydd bod yn y peth iawn i wneud. Os ydym am fyw mewn cymdeithas waraidd, mae'n bwysig bod pobl yn cael tal teg am eu gwaith, boed yn y wlad hon neu yn dramor. Yr ail reswm yw bod pob aelod y staff yn bwysig i ni. Rydym yn gwasanaethu myfyrwyr yn ddyddiol ac mae porthoriaid, cygyddion, gweithwyr fferm a glanhawyr yn hanfodol i'r gwasanaeth dyn ni'n darparu. Rydym eisiau dangos ein bod yn gwerthfawrogi pob aelod o'r staff a'u cyfraniad allweddol at ein canhedaeth. Ac yn dryfrydd, mae'r cyflog byw yn gwneud gwahaniaeth i'r teuluoedd sydd yn ei dderbyn, yn galluogi nhw i fyw tamaid bach yn well na hebddo. Mae'r Prifysgol yn gyflogwr mawr yn Aberystwyth, felly mae hyn yn gwneud gwahaniaeth i'r economi a'r gymdeithas leol. Felly, mae'n beth da i'w wneud, ac buaswn yn annog pob cyflogwr i dalu'r cyflog byw go iawn. Diolch yn fawr iawn.
Although there has been progress in spreading the living wage in Wales, there's still a long way to go.
Yr oeddwn i arfer chwarae rygbi tag ym ysgol ac yn gefnogwr mawr o rygbi. Felly, roedd ni wedi synnu clywed bod staff glanhawyr a lletygarwch yn Stadium of Principality yn cael cyflogi tlodi. Bydd yn cymryd glanach yn y Principality 677 oriau i ennill ar hyn, a mae un o chwaraewyr yn ei ennill mewn 80 munud. Roedd gan Undeb Rygbi Cymru cofnod o drosiant o 197 miliwn o punnoedd llynedd, y gallen fforddi talu'r cyflog byw.
Hello guys, my name is Ahmed Awid and I'm from Bewtown. I worked hard at school at Cates and St David's College and my parents were so proud of me when I got a place at Swansea University. I'm the first person in my family to go to uni. I didn't want to go into debt, so I didn't take out a loan. There are four younger kids in the family, so I have to support myself. I got a job at the Principality Stadium doing retail. It's hard work. For example, during the Anthony Joshua fight, I was on my feet for almost all of the 12-hour shift and got paid just £70. The Principality Stadium pays you £5.90 an hour if you're under 20. That's over £3 an hour less than the real living wage. That might not sound a lot, but it would mean a 30% pay rise for me and an extra £30 a week I could spend on driving lessons to help me get to Swansea. I was part of a team of hundreds of hospitality workers and cleaners at the Principality Stadium that helped me make events like the Ed Sheeran gig and the Autumn Rugby Internationals a success, and that contributed to a turnover of almost 100 million for the Welsh Rugby Union. But I didn't feel valued at all when I opened up my paycheck. When they pay you the minimum wage, they are actually saying, we'd love to pay you less if we could, but the law won't let us. It's time for Principality Stadium to accredit as a living wage employer. It's time to kick poverty pay into touch.
Over to you, Ahmed.
Diolch yn fawr iawn I Ahmed. Mae hynny'n ofnadwy I clywed, though. Heddiw, mae Dinasyddion Cymru wedi ymuno ag 3/4 o aelodau seneddol lleol I ysgrifennu at Martin Phillips, prif weithredwr Undeb Rygbi Cymru. Roedd erthygl y Mirror heddi lle mae Undeb Rygbi Cymru wedi gwrthod eto I helpu pobl fel Ahmed. Mae eu llefarydd yn honni nad ydyn nhw'n dyfan bris yn ceisio gorfodi contractwyr sy'n darparu rai staff glenhau ac arlwyo, y telerau y mae'n rhaid iddynt gyflogi eu staff eu hunain ac nad ydynt yn teimlo mewn sefyllfa I wneud hynny.
Thanks, Arouge. My own employer, the Vale of Glamorgan Council, has responded to a campaign by Citizens and Unison to introduce the real living wage. Their budget is reducing year on year because of austerity, but they've been persuaded to prioritise raising the wages of the lowest paid. By April this year, every directly employed worker at the Vale Council will be paid the real living wage. We've also run campaigns targeting Cardiff Airport and Wales Millennium Centre, who have both agreed to accredit as living wage employers by April the 1st this year. And here's the difference it makes. Gareth, an assistant gardener, one of our members in the Vale, told me this. He's married with two children and living in rented accommodation. And due to the age of his children, his wife can only work part-time, and she's also in low-paid work. He says getting by isn't easy, with most of their wages going on rent, utility bills, food and clothing, mainly for the children. There's little left for anything else, such as a family holiday or even a day out. The flat he lives in isn't suitable for a family of four, with only two bedrooms and cramped living space. But it's all he can afford. He uses a local food bank, which is humiliating, and has received several donations of food from Unison. When his wages go up to the real living wage in April, it's really going to make a huge difference. Thank you.
A mae yna lawer o ffyrdd yr hoffem ni cael cymorth Llywodraeth Cymru I wneud hyn. Hoffem I chi barhau I lansio wythnos gyflog byw gyda ni bob mis Tachwedd. Hoffem weld y cryfha ymrwymiad cyflog byw o fewn y cod ymarfer ar gyflogaeth foesegol mewn cadwyni, cyflwyni a pholisiau gwaith teg. Hoffem hefyd I ni ddysgu o lwyddiant yr Alban, lle mae gan Llywodraeth yr Alban dîm gysylltiedig o weision sifil sydd â thasg o hyrwyddo lledeiniad y cyflog byw. lle mae'n ariannu cyfwerth a chynnal Cymru I gyfnogi busnesau i'ch achredu a lle mae'n ffonio arian ychwanegol ar gyfer cynghorau a derbynwyr grantiau. Grantiau eraill yw helpu I fodloni gofynion y gofrestr byw.
But if there is only one thing you'd agree to do today on the living wage, it would be this. We recognise that budgets are tight and that for some organisations with lots of low-paid workers, it's not easy for employers to pay the living wage straight away. But we think that if you get the money from Welsh Government, then you must have a plan and timeline for accrediting as a living wage employer. So, will you work with us to build on the Welsh Government's commitment to the real living wage by requiring that every pound of Welsh Government money that you give out comes with a costed plan and timeline for the recipient organisation to accredit with a Living Wage Foundation. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rowan and Aruj. And now onto our second issue, letting agency fees. So friends, who can tell me what is this? Shout out. Money, yo. Believe it or not, this is a £50 note, and I've got lots of them here, as you can see. Who wants one? Yeah. Sadly not, it's for someone else, you will know in a minute. So, I'm an international student, I'm from Oman, and when I moved out of university accommodation to rent a home for the first time, I could not believe how expensive it was. Deposit, rent in advance, not to mention at all those bills. The straw that broke the camel's back, though, was the fees I had to pay to the letting agency. The letting agency demanded £200, and I had no choice but to pay it. £200 may not seem like much, but the minimum wage, as Ahmed mentioned, if you are 18 to 20 years old, is £5.90 an hour. It would take 33 hours to earn that much money. And I ended up, guess what? Eating rice for a whole month. And it's true. That they couldn't explain why I had to pay it. They didn't do any additional work for it. And the house was not great either. Don't get me started on the mold, guys. So paying that fee was like putting these £200 in the shredder. Here you go, Iqra, start on shredding. So I was a young student renting for the first time, and they were letting agency trying to make a quick profit from my money. So why do letting agents do it? Because they can. And guess what? I'm not the only one here.
So as president of Housing Action, a group led by students in Cardiff Students Union, both my team and myself have heard many horror stories, some of which we brought with us tonight, about the impact of poor practice in the private rented sector. In order to change this, Cardiff Students Union are working in partnership with Citizens Cymru to create a letting agent accreditation scheme similar to the Living Wage Foundation. This will encourage letting agencies to treat renters better while shining a light on those cowboys. One story I have permission to share with you is about someone I know. Her name is Emily. She's a single mum, a mature full-time student who couldn't afford to lose any money. She paid an agency fee of £300 in order to secure a property. Before giving the money, she was told, everything's fine. Then after taking her money, they said, nah, actually, we're not going to give it to you. Everything's not fine, and kept the money. Then, to add to it, she went somewhere else, paid £100 in the same way. This means that she is now under the threat of homelessness and she was out the money to secure a home. This is £400 in that shredder. Then there's my personal story. It goes back several years to Swansea University when my son was there. My son has disabilities and we paid £150 for an agency fee for a house to secure it over the summer along with the summer rent. Unfortunately, he never got to live in the house because when we went there in September, we found out it was infested. The windows were falling out and there were all sorts of things that they'd hidden very carefully from us when we first went there. This took away the money that was there to support him for his transport needs while he was in university. That's £150 in the shredder.
I paid £350. I worry about that money because it's the difference from me being able to go home and see my family or stay here in the UK. I could have bought a flight home to Jordan with that money. Why do letting agencies do it? Because they can.
Fel myfyriwr yn yr ail flwyddyn ym Mhrifysgol Caerdydd, rwyf bellach wedi talu ffïoedd asiantaethau am tŷ rwyf yn byw yn ddi eleni ac hefyd y tŷ fyddai'n byw yn ddi y flwyddyn nesaf. Dros y dau tŷ, rhwng dau gwahanol asiantaeth, dwi wedi gorfod talu dros 400 o bunnoedd i'r shredder, os gwelwch yn dda. Os ydych chi'n ystyried bod fy ffrindiau dwi'n byw efo hefyd yn talu'r un faint, mae hynny'n golygu bod yr asiantaethau yn derbyn o gwmpas 4,000 o bunnoedd am un tŷ. 4,000 o bunnoedd uwch ben talu filoedd ar filoedd o rent. Nid yw hyn yn deg, nid yw hyn yn foesol. Rydym yn talu'r arian yma i'r cwmnïau sydd mewn gwirionedd yn gwneud dim byd ond leino pocedi eu hunan gyda fe. Yn yr Alban a Lloegr, mae'r ffïoedd wedi eu banio'n barod, ond yng Nghymru mae'r asiantaethau dal yn gallu eu charjo. Pam? Oherwydd eu fod yn gallu.
At Cardiff University, there are 30,000 students, of which, at any one time, there will be around 15,000 renting. If each of these students are charged £200 each, that's £3 million in each and every year taken from the pockets of students.
Wait, what did you say? £3 million? We're gonna need even a bigger shredder! You! Do you want to continue, Jake?
And how can letting agents get away with fleecing students in this way? Because they can, and the legislation hasn't caught up.
So while in England and Scotland, letting agents can't charge these fees, in Wales they still can. Wales has been talking about banning letting agents' fees for years. There's a bill in the Senedd. We need action, and we need a timescale. We need to know that students arriving in Wales in September wouldn't be disadvantaged compared to those in England and Scotland.
This would not just benefit our students. There is a growing number of private renters who support this campaign. For example, refugees, those on housing benefit, those taking first steps out of homelessness. Letting agencies in Wales need to be told you cannot charge these fees. So, citizens, can we do it, citizens?
Yes, we can.
I can't hear you. Scotland done it. England is doing it. Why can't we? So, citizens, can we do it here in Wales?
Yes, we can.
Let's make it happen. Thank you. That is why we are asking you, First Minister, if you will work with us to ensure that letting agency fees are banned in Wales by the start of the next academic year, 2019-2020. Thank you very much, Diolch.
Thank you, Fadila. And now, on to our third ask, for dignity in social care. My name is Captain Lorraine Warriner, and I'm from the Salvation Army in Pontypool. And this is my mum, Frieda. In 2008, I left my hometown and my elderly mum to train as a Salvation Army officer in London. My mum was in her 80s, but she was quite independent, but little did I know that within a year, she'd be diagnosed with dementia. As she steadily lost her independence, our family saw the strengths in the care system and the downfalls. The strengths were the people, the carers who treated mum with care, patience, and the love that she deserved. They went far beyond what was asked of them, often bringing her in fish and chips for a surprise because they knew that she loved them, and they never took a penny from her for doing it. They sat and listened to her stories and told her jokes which brightened up her day and made her feel special, even though they were pushed for time. But we also saw the shortcomings of the care system too. When mum went into hospital with yet another water infection, she would have to stay in longer than necessary because of the shortage of care workers. This meant that the beds in the hospitals were taken up by people who didn't need them. And this also caused mum a lot of anxiety. When she was in her flat, her carers would often be late, very late often, due to the staff shortages again. Mum would get very, very upset, wondering where they were. Would they actually turn up? Who would get her dressed? And as a daughter, it made me feel helpless, because I was hundreds of miles away and there was nothing that I could do to help her. We found a lovely care home for mum eventually, where she was loved and cared for until she died in June 2016. We, her family, are very thankful to those carers who looked after her, who were incredibly patient with her, especially when they were holding down three jobs, some of them, to make ends meet. Those care workers were a lifeline to my mum and to our family. Throughout her life, my mum gave so much to me, my sister, and our family, and the community she lived in. As she reached the end of her life, she deserved better. And the care workers who looked after her deserved better too. I'm going to hand over to Linda now, a care worker from Cardiff.
Hi, I'm Linda. I live in Ely and I've been involved in a charity group called Ely Garden Villagers. Together, along with our community, we saved our only green field in Ely. I now run 10 football teams from 7s up to 18s who all now use this field to play competitive football. I have also been involved in refurbishing our old play centre and helped with countless fundraisers to help people within our community. I worked as a care worker for 8 years. I absolutely loved my job. I enjoyed the pressure of supporting people's needs. I loved doing living support. I supported people in getting dressed, take them to classes, prepare the food. These little things I knew meant a lot. Like one woman I worked for, Beth, not a real name, obviously, due to data protection. I would do her hair, go onto her dressing gown, and I would give her a little touch and say, "You are beautiful," and she would go, "Beautiful," back. It used to bring tears to my eyes, but it brought a big smile to her face. It gave me such satisfaction knowing I'd make her happy. There were challenging parts of the job, obviously, but we trained to work with that. There are other jobs myself and others who work in care could do. But we choose care because either we've had someone in our family who needs care and we see how important it is, or we just want to become a carer. But I just can't stay working in care, and it's just not for me. Many people I know are leaving care work altogether. My friends, old colleagues, my daughter and my daughter-in-law. The way the system currently works, it makes it so hard. The workers ain't treated with respect, and the people who are receiving care don't always get treated with that respect. You've got people on zero contract hours who can't get guaranteed hours how much work they get. There's one reason why my daughter-in-law is leaving care. She's on a 0 hour, and when she phones up, they say they'll get back to her, and they don't until the last minute. She's lost so much money this way, so she's handed in a notice. There's no paid travel time. My friend worked 8 hours, and she got only paid for 4 hours because 4 hours of it was travel time. And when you're working across more than one location, you've got to get from one part of the city to another. You're not even given enough time to get to that next location. It puts the care worker and the person being cared for under a lot of pressure. But even though I'm fully trained and I've got my diploma, even though I love it, I don't think I could ever do care work again. We need to change the respect and the system gives to care workers and the people they care for. We don't mind that it's challenging. We don't mind that it's hard. We love what we do, but the system has to change. Because in the same way that people like Beth need to feel that they have dignity and respect, the worker who is telling her she's beautiful needs that dignity and respect too.
We've heard so many stories like this. Despite the best efforts of people like Linda, anyone who has interacted with the social care system knows that it is broken. We all have a responsibility to help fix it. This won't need a bit of tinkering. We need a revolution in our social care system. That might sound scary, but friends, we need to have courage. I live in Pontypool, and just down the road is Tredegar. In the early 20th century, ordinary people like you and me got together to design a way to make sure that people in their community could get medical care. 20 years later, their local MP, Nye Bevan, took this idea and made it the basis of the NHS. We love the NHS, don't we? We do. But you know, in that day, it was controversial at that time, because it was hugely costly at a time of austerity. The politicians couldn't do it on their own. They needed communities to demand it, to make the case for higher taxes and to encourage registration with the new GPs.
As things are going through in your own mind, maybe, about what might need to change, it's really clear, isn't it, that we have to do things in a way that doesn't mean it's all done on the cheap. Yn fi yn iawn, bydd Cymru yn gallu cyflwyno ei threthu ei hun. Mae'n anodd i wleidyddion alw ymdrethu uwch, mae'n yn debygol o ddod yn gynwleidyddion yn eithaf gyflym. Dyna pam mae angen i ni gyflwyno'r achos ymdreth arbennig i ariannu gofal cymdeithasol yng Nghymru. A gallwn wneud hyn trwy sgwrsiau a lefel gymunedol sy'n dod â phobl at ei gilydd i adlywyrchu ar y math o ofal gymdeithasol y mae'n tŵau eisiau ar gyfrau anwyliaid ac wrth i ni gyd fynd yn hyn ar gyfrau'n hunain hefyd.
So, First Minister, our final ask is actually an offer. Will you work with us to organise and attend a citizens' summit on social care, to allow care workers, care recipients, civil society and communities to feed into a plan for a revolution in social care in Wales ahead of the next election? Thank you.
I'd like to invite the First Minister back on the stage. And we're going to invite him for 6 minutes in total to provide a response to those three questions that we've brought. And our members respond well to simple, clear responses to the questions, even if it's no. And after that, there'll be up to 6 minutes in which the co-chairs of the Assembly may respond to your answers, seeking further clarification on those three questions. So to remind us of the three asks. And Gunter, firstly, will you require that every pound of Welsh Assembly money that you give out
comes with a costed plan and timeline for the receipt organisation to accredit with the Living Wage Foundation. Secondly, will you work with us to ensure that letting agent fees are banned in Wales by the start of the 2019-20 academic year? And thirdly, will you work with us to organise and attend a citizens' summit on social care to allow care workers, care recipients, civil society and communities to feed into a plan for a revolution in social care in Wales ahead of the next election?
Wel, mae'n diolch fawr i pob un sydd wedi cyfrannu at y ddadlac am y cwestiynau hefyd. Dwi'n mynd trwyddo nhw i gyd yn fyr. Ddechrau gyda'r cyflog byw, fel chi wedi clywed, ni fel Llywodraeth, ni'n talu y cyflog byw fel Llywodraeth, ni'n hyrwyddo bobl eraill, ble ni'n gallu, ni wedi ariannu gwasanaethau cymdeithasol eraill yng Nghymru i wneud yr un peth. We can do it by working with others. When I was the health minister in the Welsh Government, with no more money than any other part of the United Kingdom, in agreement with the trade unions, we were able to turn the NHS here in Wales into a real living wage employer, and we've sustained that ever since. Now, the Welsh Government gives out money in a whole series of different ways, but essentially, you can divide the money we provide through the money that we provide to private businesses and the money that we invest in public services. And the answer to the question, I think, has got to be different in those two cases. So in the private business world, we are moving to a system of what we call an economic contract. So that when we provide money to private businesses, as well as that money being used to support those businesses, to create jobs, to make sure that we have prosperity in the future, we are saying to them that the public who has provided that money is entitled to a return on the investment that we are making. And that investment is wider than just the work that the company itself might have had in mind. And part of the returns that we are going to expect from those private businesses is that they recognise trade unions, that they pay the real living wage, and that they act in ways which contribute to that wider public good. Now, we're at the starting point of all of this. We've been doing it for about a year. We have to see how far we can make our powers extend. But I think that that is a genuinely radical departure from the way in which things used to be done in the past, where we handed out the money and we hoped, and sometimes we didn't hear very much about what our money had achieved. As far as the public sector is concerned, look, I have to repeat what you've heard from others. The age of austerity is absolutely real in things that we do, and we cannot magic it away and pretend that it isn't happening. The Welsh Government has £880 million less to spend on public services in Wales than we did 10 years ago. With everything that's happened in between, in terms of rising prices, in terms of growing demand, £880 million less to spend on all the things that we want to see happen in Wales. And when I speak to public sector organisations who don't pay the real living wage, what I say to them is that I am prepared to be patient about the journey, because for some of them, this will be a journey that takes a long time. But what I'm not prepared to see is an organisation that says to me that they don't have a plan. I expect every organisation in Wales that has public money to be able to show how, even over time, and even when that might be a lengthy journey, they will get to where we want them to be in Wales, and that they too will become, as the Welsh Government is, as Cardiff Council is, as the Vale of Glamorgan is, as the NHS is, and many other organisations, they too will join that register and become part of a living wage Wales. The second question, I'm pleased to say, is the easiest one to answer, because as you heard, there is a bill in front of the Assembly. The Renting Homes Bill is being considered now. It will ban letting agent fees here in Wales. How fast the bill gets on the statute book is not in the hands of the government. There's an Assembly that debates it, and we're in their hands too. But I am optimistic that if we get on with it in the way that we plan to get on with it, then letting fees will be banned by the summer ahead of the 2019-20 academic year. The third topic that we've heard about this evening is, I think, the most complicated and the most difficult to solve. And the answer does not lie in the hands of government alone. And that's why the offer to work with you on this is so important. And as you heard from the platform earlier, we really do all have a responsibility. We cannot be a society that is unwilling to pay taxes on the one hand, but expects the services to be provided on the other. And when I talked to you earlier about recreating a solidarity society here in Wales, part of that is about reminding people that the taxes we pay are the entry fee we pay to live in a civilized society. Because if we want, as we do, our care workers to be paid for the work that they do, to recognise the sort of things that Linda was telling us about earlier, then we have to persuade the people who need to put their hands in their pockets that that's the reward that they get. They get decent services for the people who matter to them, and that we respect the people who we pay to provide those services for us. We don't have 0 hours contracts in Wales anymore, I'm glad to say. So we've made some progress on that already, and there's more difference we want to make. And in answer to the question, is the Welsh Government keen to work with you on all of this and to bring about the revolution that we need, then of course we are, and we're very grateful indeed for the offer. Diolch yn fawr iawn I chi gyd.
Thank you, First Minister. We're just going to make sure that we've understood everything that's been chatted about tonight. I think when we've heard the response to our first ask, will you work with us to build on the Welsh Government's commitment to the real living wage by requiring that every pound of Welsh Government money that you give out comes with a costed plan and timeline, it appears to me that that isn't something that the Welsh Government has got, because you asked if other people would be able to do it. And we know that the NHS isn't yet accredited. So we're wondering whether this is a no.
No, it's not a no, but in the, because so much of what we discussed tonight we are already doing and want to do. But if you want me to take literally the question that I've been asked, I wouldn't be able to say yes to it. Let me give you a random example. When I was the health minister, I had to sign off the bacon and sausage contract for the health service in Wales. That is Welsh money being spent on behalf of the public. The rules would not allow me in that contract to insist that the money I was spending was going into the living wage. So there are parts of what we do that we can make a difference in the way we've talked about. There are some things where we really couldn't. So the answer to your question is, where we can, we will, but not everything that we do is capable of being answered in the way that the question posed it.
Okay, thank you. Fidia.
Thank you very much, First Minister, for your answers and your authenticity and honesty. So I just wanted to confirm regarding the second ask, will you work with us to ensure that letting agency fees are banned in Wales by the start of the next academic year? Yes or no?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that. So I just wanted to mention that we really commend that, and it's amazing to see what the government can do. But also, I wanted to mention what the citizens' bit is in this, is we are working tirelessly to actually create a housing accreditation system in the same fashion of the Living Wage Foundation. And we are hoping that we're going to have a certain way to actually regulate the private letting agencies across Wales and maybe across the UK. So thank you very much again for that. It really matters a lot for us.
Ak and Olaf, and last time, First Minister, thank you for agreeing to work with Citizens Wales Cymru for looking at social care. And we can tell from the way that you agreed at the beginning to have different people who can work with Citizens Cymru that we're going to be able to be part of a way of taking that forward. So thank you. Diolch.
Wel, diolch yn fawr. Jyst I ddweud unwaith eto, pan ni'n siarad am gofal cymdeithasol, ni'n siarad am rhywbeth gymleth a rhywbeth sy'n mynd ar draws a llywodraeth I gyd. Just as you have offered tonight to work with us, I want to commit the whole of the government because this is a complex topic that touches on all sorts of responsibilities. I'm here this evening with my colleagues, Jeremy Miles, who has a responsibility for the way that the law is developed in Wales, with Eluned Morgan, who's had huge responsibilities in the Welsh Government on the development of skills, and we know that the skills of the workforce in social care are absolutely important, and with Julie Morgan, who is our new social services minister. And Julie has a direct interest, of course, in this area and all the things we've talked about. And this is an across-the-government responsibility. And your effort to work with us is one that we are very pleased to accept and to give you that assurance that while I've been answering the questions, I'm here in the way that I tried to say earlier, it's a collective leadership that we have at the Welsh Government, and all those ministers who have an interest in this will want to be part of that conversation. So diolch yn fawr iawn I chi gyd.